All right, so I'm back in a story that you all know by heart. If you don't have a Bible, you won't be lost. This is the beautiful story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Oh, I'm so excited about this story. I mean, we have heard this story since you were wee high to a grasshopper, right? And it's a beautiful story, but today we're going to hear this story in a new way.
Reference again.
1 Samuel chapter 17. Because today we are going to hear about the difference between an external identity and an internal identity. You see, many of you have crafted your identity around externals. Mm-hmm. Me too. You know, I mean, that's just normal. Don't feel bad. We all do it. Because that's what we're taught to do. That's what the culture tells us to do. That's what, you know what, do you know that they actually have Facebook before Congress right now? Are you aware of this, that Facebook and Instagram are being brought before the Congress right now of the United States of America? Because there have been so many teenagers, mainly girls, that have fallen into suicide, depression, you know, hopelessness. Why? Tell me why. Cyberbullying, identity. They look at Facebook and they think, oh, I don't like anything like that. Do you know they actually have an app where you can alter your appearance? Did you know that? On the phone? You can take your phone and alter your... How many of you have done that? Okay, well, you don't have to tell me. But the result of this, the result of gazing at what appears to them to be perfect in comparison to how they see themselves has caused an epidemic of suicide, depression, and hopelessness.
They're looking through a filter that's not real.
Yes, they're looking through an unreal filter. They're looking at an external. They're basing everything they think about themselves on the external. It's pretty scary. It's a pretty scary thing. So here in the story of David and Goliath, what I want to say is that one was based on the external and one was based on the internal. Let's look together because this story just will unfold itself in so many ways. You see, the war is for your identity. The war that you are in right now is for your identity. It's not just for you to get better and you to feel better. It's for the very heart of who you are. And you know, in every season of life, you have a challenge to who you are. You know?
Yeah.
It could be that you're up all night with kids and you know, you just lose the sense. I mean, anybody that's been up all night with kids, you know, like you get up in the morning and you think, I don't even know who I am anymore, you know, when you have little kids. Or maybe when you, later on in life, when you're working so hard at a job, you know, and it's just 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 8 to 10, whatever. Look at our healthcare workers. Please pray for our healthcare workers. They have worked and worked and worked and worked. They've worked crazy hours. And if you ask any one of them, I bet they would tell you that after a while, they just go to work, they come home, they fall into bed, they get up, they go to work, they come home, they fall into bed, and they lose all sense of who they are. Right?
You don't even know what day it is.
You don't even know what day it is. Or how about this whole aging thing?
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, some of you are really thankful, Maureen. But there are some of us that we get started getting wrinkles in our neck and we're like, oh no, who am I? You know, maybe it's a personal problem. Anyway, this is the fight. This is get into the right fight. So often we fight others. And what we really need to fight is the giant of the internal dialogue, the giant within, the giant that's saying, you're getting too old. The giant that's saying, you're not quite, you don't quite do it the way your neighbor does it. The giant that says, I don't know if they're going to like you in that retreat. You know, I wonder, I wish I knew how many women are not here today because a giant came after them and said, you should be afraid of COVID if you go to that retreat. You should be afraid of nobody liking you. Who are you going to room with? What are you going to wear? Anybody? Giants in the land, right? Well, there was a big giant here. Let's look at him. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And they were gathered together at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on one mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a big valley between them. I'm just going to give you some of my thoughts on this scripture that relates to our identity. So first of all, they both thought they had the high ground. They both thought they were right. They both were on a mountain shouting at each other. And believe me, women, every time a giant comes after your identity, there's going to be a little bit of truth in it. Hello? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
You're going to have a little bit of truth in that, in what that giant is speaking into your life. There's going to be a little bit of truth in it. The Philistines had a little bit of truth here. They were the more mighty army. They had more men. They were better weaponized. There was some truth on their side. And Israel's on the other side thinking, yeah, but I think we're the people of God. Maybe we're the people of God. Maybe they had a little bit of truth too. And they both think they're right. Get into the right fight. The battle of the mind is big and armed and heavy. Let's look. Verse 4, and the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. And his height was 6 cubits and a span, which my Bible says is about 9 3/4 feet. 9 feet plus tall. That's bigger than my favorite basketball player. Okay. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. My Bible says 125 pounds. That giant's coming after you. He's well armed. He's big, and he's heavy. He has the heavy weight of everything you've experienced, everything you feel. Everything you've been told, all your life is weighed on the side of the giant. And he's standing on the hill looking at you and saying, I'm going to take you out. I don't know. It's kind of scary, right? Can you stand up against your internal Goliath? Built over the years of words and experiences and circumstances. In verse 8 through 10, he kind of tells them what he wants here. He says, and he had a bronze, he had more armor. He had bronze greaves, shields on his leg and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Do you know what that is? Thick wooden beam. And the spear was like, the iron spear had weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds, and a shield bearer went before him. He's got this little guy out before him, you know. Don't you know that when the enemy comes after your identity, that he has a lot of little minions, you know? It could be a kid. He's a little minion. Mom, you look so lame today. Minion, you know, a friend that says, you know, no, I can't do coffee today. I'm just too busy for you. Minion. Right? There's a lot of little guys around the big giant trying to tear you apart. A lot of little lies. A lot of little lies that have been deposited into your heart. I don't even think you're aware of how many have been deposited in your life. All these little shield bearers. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Are you even trying? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be my slave and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You know, women, that army, that Philistine army, could have just come across the valley and wiped out Israel. But they didn't want to wipe them out. They wanted to enslave them. They wanted to capture them and make them their slave. This giant inside of you that tells you you're not good enough, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want you to die. He wants to put you in slavery. He wants you to listen to him instead of listening to the voice of God. And he wants your life to be redirected all into the negative. How many people have you seen like this? That have fallen subject to this slavery. People all around us. People that are enslaved, what? To fear, to lies, to not feeling like they're beautiful, not feeling like they're good enough. How many people have said to you, well, I'm sure God doesn't care about me. Have you ever heard that? If you haven't heard that, you have not been hanging around with teenagers. Because they are filled with self-hatred right now. So the giant inside wants to enslave you. Goliath wanted to enslave them. Now, let me just back up. There are these battles that come up now in the scripture. And the first battle that you have to fight is the battle of words. Can you write that down? The first battle you have to fight in defeating your giant is the battle of words. Because listen to what happened here. And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And it says down here a little bit further that they had listened to this for 40 days. Every morning the giant comes out. Every day. He yells across the valley, send me a man. And if you don't find one, you can be my servant. I mean, every day they had this taunt from this giant that they were nothing compared to him and his minions. You see, the enemy uses words. He uses the words. The words spoken to you, the words spoken over you. How many of you remember? I mean, look, people, we grow up in a broken world, right? So I'm not throwing anybody under the bus when I say many of our parents, including me as a parent, say stupid things. You know? Like, when are you going to grow up? Anybody ever heard that? Or... I even said that? Yes. Or, who do you think you are? Or, why do you look like that? What were you thinking when you put that on?
Okay, stop.
Words have been spoken over us, spoken by us. How many times have you looked in the mirror? I did it just maybe even this morning. Look in the mirror and say, oh, I don't know. This is kind of a stupid outfit. Words. We speak them to ourselves. We speak them over each other. We speak them. They've been spoken over us. Remember what I said last night about God's word when he said, let there be light? His word is meant to be a creative word. When God speaks to you, your heart sings. You think, really? Really? Me? Thank you. That feels so good. So these people were enslaved, and they were hearing words. First you hear it, then you fall into fear, then you fall into hopelessness. What do you hear for yourself versus what you hear from the Lord? We hear defeat often instead of chosen. But, da 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 da. Are you ready?
Yes.
Enter David. Enter David. Now David, verse 12, was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons. And the man was old and advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. There goes your mama. David was the youngest, the least, the last, the lost, right? We remember that when Samuel came to anoint him, he was out in the pasture with the sheep, remember?
Yeah.
And all the sons of Jesse went before Samuel, and God said, no, 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 no. And they were beautiful, and they were wonderful, and they were big, and they were powerful, and they were the firstborn and the secondborn, and all the way down. And finally, he has to say to Jesse, doesn't he? Is there anybody else? Because God doesn't want any of these for his king. And they all said, oh, well, there's David. He watches the sheep. And in that day, in that culture, what was the lowest position?
Shepherd.
Yes. Yes. You know, some scholars think that David might even have been illegitimate, the illegitimate son of Jesse, that he wasn't one of the real family. He was kind of the tag on, the least, the last, the lost. David.
Redheaded stepchild.
Redheaded stepchild. There we go. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and night. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah, a box of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. You know, what I want you to know here is that God can speak to your identity in your everyday circumstances.
Exactly.
You don't have to go to a special place to find out who you are. It's in the context of what you do and your everyday life. He wants you to find your identity, not separate from what he's given you to do, but in the middle of what he's given you to do. David was still a shepherd. David was still watching after the sheep. David was still the little brother that had to bring, you know, had to bring the food, you know, for his brothers. There's nothing special here about David's identity at this point, except David had internalized who he was before he externalized what he did. Should I say that one more time? David had internalized who he was before he externalized what he did. You see, if you're doing what you're doing out of the internal confidence and solidness of who God has created you to be, then the fruit will be exponential. The fruit will be exponential. But if you're coming at what you're doing in order to prove who you are, beware. Beware. There are giants in that land. Am I being too preachy?
No.
You're all kind of looking at me like, eh.
No.
Okay. I'm just so excited about David. So excited about what's going to happen here. Okay. So then, okay. Verse 22. And David kept his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard them. Right? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "Well, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And who is this?" And this is this. David speaks another word here. "And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" We have not heard those words declared before now. Everybody else has run away afraid and said, "Oh, the giant, the giant." The first battle is in the words. And David speaks a different word. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You're right there. Right there. As David speaks the truth of the God who had saved Israel and put the mark on them of circumcision. Already David is taking a step away and separating himself from the words of the giant. Already he's declaring his identity. "I'm of the circumcised." He's not. Why are we listening to this uncircumcised Philistine? He's defying the armies of the living God. Saul's soldiers, they had been so put to sleep by the words of the giant. "We're going to kill you. We're going to get you. You're food for us." They had lost the word of God in them. They had forgotten that they were the armies of the living God. Women, don't forget who you are.
Yeah.
Don't forget you're the chosen. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you, Ephesians 1. You were in his mind, in his eye, in his sight. He formed you in your mother's womb. He created you wonderfully, fearfully. Oh, women, don't lose sight of who you are. This army had lost sight of who they were. They were no longer the army of the living God. They were the terror-stricken soldiers of Saul, the natural realm. It's all the natural realm here for them. But not David. Because he came knowing who he was. I love David. He's not perfect, by the way. Isn't that good news? And then he says, "Well, who should, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people told him what would be given to him. Verse 28, oh boy, here it comes, folks. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and his anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And who did you leave those sheep with in the wilderness?" Like, stupid little David. You hear it? Dumb little brother. Who are you to come to the army? You're nothing but a little shepherd boy. You don't deserve to be here. You're not one of the oldest sons that can be in the army. You're just a little shepherd boy. And you probably didn't even take care of your responsibilities. You're so irresponsible. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. Women, right here, the minions, right? They're the lies. They're coming against David's identity right here. Right through who?
Family.
His family. Oh, family is one of the hardest arenas to hold your own.
Yeah.
It can be. It can be. Maybe it's not for all of you, but it can be. It can be a tough place. It can be a tough place, especially if you're standing for the identity in God. And David says, what have I done now? Oh, I love that. What have I done now? Is there not a cause? You see, David wasn't just driven by ego. He wasn't just driven by even anointing from Samuel. He wasn't just driven by wanting to be who God created him to be. He was driven by the cause of the kingdom. You see, you need to rise up in your identity for the cause of the kingdom that God has placed in your midst. I don't care if it's one person that you're taking care of at home. Like when we took care of our aging mother and father, that was our cause at the time. I don't care if it's a whole schoolroom of kids is your cause. I don't care if it's the hospital is your cause. I don't know what your cause might be, but you have been designed for a purpose and an identity for the cause of the kingdom that you have been placed in the middle of. It can be the one, it can be the hundreds, but you're there for a reason, just like David. And when David got there, he saw the cause. He saw the cause. Have you seen your cause? Wake up. See your cause. Is it the church? Maybe we're all here just this weekend for that cause, to revive and bring to life the church of God in Yakima. Is that not a cause? Come on, women, is that not a cause?
Yes.
That's a cause. Our world is crying and desperate and lonely and dying and fearful. Is there not a cause? Spit out my nose. David knew there was a cause. And so he enters the second battle. The first battle is the battle of words. He defeated the battle of words by telling the truth of what they were seeing. The uncircumcised Philistine that was warring against the armies of God. That's what he saw. That's what he declared. The second battle is the battle of your experience. The battle of your experience. See, David is going to have an experience here with this giant. Like, it's all well and good to say, oh, I'm wonderful, God created me, I'm a happy person, good, blah, blah, blah. No, you've got to step into the arena of the experience. It's got to work out there as well as it works in here. What you get today in here, you're going to be asked to take out there. It's got to work in the experience. So David says, what have I done now? Then he turned from him, turned away from his brother. Oh, by the way, you got to turn from the lie and toward another, and said the same thing. And they answered him as the first ones did. And when the words which David spoke were heard, what words were those? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Isn't there a cause? They reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Okay, game on. Saul's the king, folks. I know we don't have very much to refer like that. Like, we don't have a king, but that's pretty scary for a young man to get called to the king. Have you ever been called to the principal's office? Or the pastor's office? Yeah, that, oh no. So he gets called to Saul. And they sent for him. Then David said to Saul, straight off the bat, let no man's heart fail because of him, the giant,
Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. I'm good to go. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he a man of war. Again, you can't do this, David. So true. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. This is my experience. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. Yeah. And Saul said to David, good luck. Women, your experiences in life are to be used for holy purpose. Don't waste them. Don't try to get away from them. Embrace them and let them be your story. Find your lion and bear story. Find the place where you warred up and had victory and tell that. Tell that over and over again until you believe for yourself that you can knock down any giant. There's nothing you can face that will defeat you. Nothing. Not life, nor death, nor angel, nor demon. Nothing can defeat you when you have your story of the experiences of God showing up. Has God showed up for you? Remember, God showed up for you. You know, the first experience I had where God showed up for me, I was in the seventh grade. And I had a little dog. Victoria, you're going to like this story. This story is for you. I had this little dog. She has a cat she loves. We had a conversation about her cat. And she loves her cat. And I loved my little dog. And my little dog got sick. And he started to, because he was sick, he had like a kidney infection. And so when you touched him, he kind of got nippy, you know. And so my parents were really scared that he was going to bite somebody. And so the vet said, here's the medicine. In 3 days, if he's not better, we have to put him down. Maybe it was a her. I don't remember. Anyway, we have to put the dog down. And I didn't know the Lord at the time. The Lord was not a part of my everyday life. It was not a part of my experience. 3 days. It's a Sunday. 3 days. It's Sunday. My dad, who is, you know, get her done kind of guy, you know, nothing left undone, comes to me and says, it's 3 days. The dog's still nipping. I got to take her to the vet. I think it was her. Take her to the vet and put her down. Oh, my heart just broke. He puts the dog in the car. He drives away. I go to my room. I get down on my knees for the first time in my life. And I say, God, if you're real, save my doggy. He goes to the vet. Sunday, he goes to the vet to get the dog put down. There just so happened at the shelter to be a vet there that knew about these kind of things. He examines the little dog. Before I put her down, let me look at her. Examines the little dog and says, she's on her way to healing. You can take her home. I still get teary about this because you cannot believe what that said to me when my dad pulled up in that car and my dog got out. That's my lion story. That's my bear story, one of them. Hey, God showed up for me, right? Can you get your lion and bear story together? Because you need to start telling it to yourself and to others. This is where God showed up for me. Somebody comes to you like, look, I just lost my best friend and I feel so hopeless and lost. Let me tell you where God showed up for me. Because then I can believe that God will show up for you. You see, David believed that he could defeat this giant. because he'd killed the lion and the bear, and God had delivered him. It wasn't just his own strength, right? He said, God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear. So this uncircumcised 9-foot giant, nothing to me. Oh, I get chills on this story, sorry. David goes back to gather up where God has shown up for him. When God showed up for David, that's what David valued the most, where God showed up. What God has done for me in the past is what qualifies me for this battle that I'm facing today. Where God showed up in the past, that's what qualifies you to face the battle you're facing today. We have some warriors in this room. I'm looking at some people that have fought battles all their life and have seen God show up. And guess what, ladies? It doesn't always show up the way you think it should. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's not always what you want. But God does show up. God does show up. Sorry. David knew that. David counted on that. David didn't go in this battle on his own strength. He went into this battle counting on God. You see, that's the difference between external and internal identity. When God is in here and he showed up for you before and he's going to show up for you again, you go in the strength of what's in here, not what you see out there. There was nothing out there to encourage him. Nothing. That guy is big. He's armed. He's dangerous. He's loud. He's obnoxious. And he has friends. So first, it's the battle of words. Second, it's the battle to gather up your experiences and use them for good. And the third battle is the battle of your circumstance. Not your experience, but your circumstances. Okay? This is where David does an exchange. Look here. So Saul clothed David with his armor, Saul's armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened the sword, Saul's sword, to his armor, and he tried to walk. For he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And he took his staff, David's staff, in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's purse, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. I want you all to just put your hand out, one hand. If you're right-handed, put your right hand out. If you're left-handed, put your left hand out. The hand of your power. And I want you to look at it, man. And I want you to say, what is in my hand? You see, God has weaponized each one of you for the battle. You all have something in your hand. It could be kindness. It could be boldness. It could be courage. It could be a beauty with words. It could be a beauty with creativity. There's a weapon in your hand to fight your enemy. What is in your hand? David had his sling in his hand. Sorry. David had his sling in his hand. And guess what? He'd used that before, right? He knew what that sling could do. You know, if I could choose what was in my hand, which I didn't, but if I could choose what was in my hand, you know what I would choose for my hand? I would choose words of encouragement. They are so powerful. What a weapon against the enemy of our souls. But to tell each other, encourage one another, bless one another, give one another the value of a good word.
He also had the staff, which he knew how to use to find the stones.
Yes, there's a lot you can unpack here about the staff, the stones, the bag, the sling. You know, there are these weapons of your warfare. You know, in Corinthians, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means fleshly or worldly, but are the weapons from the heavenly realm to pull down strongholds, to rage against the arguments that come against the knowledge of God. In our world today, women, we need the weapons of our God to pull down all the lies of the enemy that are being slowly drifting into everything you see here and all around you. Wow. David makes an exchange, the great exchange, the armor exchange. He exchanges what was given to him in the natural realm for what God had planted in him from the supernatural realm. Do you see that? He made a change. He exchanged, the great exchange. We have to change our mind from what's been handed to us or laid on us to what God has given us in here. Oh, the great exchange. The great exchange. David picks the five stones of his gifting. It doesn't say what it is, but the five stones represent. You get your own five. Get your five stones. Get them in your bag. Get that sling in your hand and go fight your giant. How does he do it? How does he take down the giant? Well, he goes out. You know, you can't beat the word of God here for drama. Super drama. We think the drama, you know, survivor's drama. Well, the Bible. You know, there's plenty of drama here, women. Plenty of drama here. So the Philistine came and began, I'm in verse 41, and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. Minions. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He hated him. He loathed him. You know the giant inside of you? It disdains you. It tears at you. Some of you are in bondage to self-hatred. To self-hatred. You've hated yourselves. You've disdained yourselves. That's the giant. It's just the giant in you. It's not how you were created. For he was but a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? You know, David's just like a little stick. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Tonight we're going to have an opportunity for freedom prayer. And some of you have been put under a curse. I don't want to get too boo-woo here, but some of you have been put under a curse, either by a family member or this, by a family member or by a teacher, by a pastor. Sorry to say, sometimes we don't know that we're cursing when cursing somebody when we say something, but some of you are in bondage to curses. David was being cursed by the Philistine, by the giant. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. Come on over here, David guy. Hey, little guy, come on over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, I love, you gotta see, that's what Goliath said. But David said, no, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yeah? The Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel whom you've defied. Well, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcass, says, of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air. That's what Goliath said he was going to do to him. And the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, when you're up against circumstances, you got to declare. You got to declare. You can't just stand by. You can't just say, okay, well, whatever. Yeah, I see you out there, big giant, but, you know, I'm just going to try to... No, you got to stand up. You got to tell that giant who you are and what you believe. You got to get in the face of that grandson and say, no, I have fought for something all my life. You got to be a David when that Goliath comes after you and stand up for the Lord of hosts. Is that, that's Jehovah
Jireh?
Not Jireh, that's the Hebrew. Jehovah, well, we'll figure it out. We'll get the name. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Then all the assembly, verse 47, shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I know many of you have used that verse, the battle is the Lord's, over your life, and it's so true here. And it was so, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the enemy. Ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out his gifting stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell with his face on the earth. Giant down, David up. Giant down, David up. But that's not all he did, women. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath. Goliath hadn't even had a chance to draw his sword, folks. He was dead before his sword ever came out of its scabbard. So David pulled it out and killed him, pierced him, stepped on his neck, and cut off his head. Don't just sling that stone. Kill it. Kill it. Cut off its head. Cut the head off that giant. Don't let it come back and taunt you again and again and again. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Oh, that we would be done with it. Wouldn't you like to walk out of this weekend saying, I'm done. I'm done feeling bad about myself. I'm done listening to those lies. I'm done. You want to be done? Who wants to be done?
Yeah.
We want to be done. We want to get the head off that giant. And what's so exciting is that he used the giant's sword. You know, take that sword out of the hand of the enemy and put it in the hand of God. Just get that thing that's coming after you and grab it and put it in God's hands. You know, when the pandemic started, when COVID first started, when they sent us all home, this was my prayer. God, you get what you want out of COVID. God, you get what you want. I'm taking it out of the hand of the enemy and I'm putting it in the hand of God. You use it for your work, for your purpose. That's what we do, women. That's what warriors do. So, finally, of course, they win. It goes on and on. David goes after all the Philistines, and finally Saul's army kind of says, oh, okay, I guess we can do this too. And they all run after him, kill everybody, and, you know, it's pretty bad. But to summarize, David knew who he was and who he wasn't. He saw through the intimidation. He had a cause, and he stayed loyal to God over family, king, and country.
Amen.
God has to be the highest thing here. Not your family. Not your beliefs. Not your church, excuse me. Not over everything. over God, over family, king, and country. And what did? How did he do it? He used what was in his hand. He remembered his past victories. He stayed under God, and he honored God. We never know what the fight is really about. We never know what the fight is really about. Israel saw a giant. David saw a kingdom.